turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. As you know, we have, Pastor Denny has declared that this is the year of discovery. The year of discovery. And we've subtitled it Discover Life. We are talking about the abundant life that Jesus wants us to live. A life that is full and overflowing with His presence and with His joy. Not the current life that we are living, but really everything that we are intended to live for. And we've started a brand new series this month. And our brand new series is called Discover What Love Does. Discover What Love Does. For the next few weeks, we'll be diving into that topic. Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there, listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." You see, the Bible tells us that as Christians, as followers of Christ, our job is to love God and to love others. But what does that exactly mean? What does that look like, to love God and to love others? You know, years ago, DC Talk, many of you remember DC Talk, it was a little music group, and they sang a song, "Love is a Verb." I was so tempted to sing that song this morning, but destiny did not permit me to do so. But love is a verb. Love is always attached to action. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action verb. Love requires us doing. And since God is love, you have to understand that God doesn't just love you. God is love. He is the embodiment of the word love. He is at his very core and his very nature, he is love. And so whenever we talk about love, we must first look to God's example. And John 3:16 is a very familiar piece of scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave." You see, when we discover the love that God has for us, we discover a God who gives his very best for us. When we discover a God who loves us, we discover a God who gives his very best for us. God didn't give us plan B or plan C. God didn't give us plan Z. No, it was only plan A. He gave us his very best from the beginning. Just think about at the beginning of creation in the Garden of Eden. God created the most amazing place for his creation. It had everything that they needed there. It was beautiful and majestic. God gave his best. And then he created us as human beings, and he created us in his own image. You realize it does not get any better than that. And then today we understand that God didn't just stop there in the garden. Even after the fall, even after Adam and Eve sinned, God continued to give his best when he gave his Son so that we might have everlasting life. So in our journey, we discover that God loved, so God gave. And love always gives its best. Love always gives its best. So therefore, we must always give our best as well.
You know, Philip and I have an adorable we are not at all prejudiced, 2.5-year-old girl who's going to turn 3 in April. She is just wonderful. But she loves presents, and not just wrapped ones. She calls everything in her toy chest a present. So she'll be like, are there presents here? Yes, there are. But she also loves to give presents. So one of the things that she likes to do is grab her little bags and stuff her toys in them and bring them to me and go, Mama, I have a present for you. And I am supposed to take the present, pull every toy out, ooh and ah, and get so excited about the presents that she's brought to me. Now, she's just brought me things that I gave her. Just stuff that is around our house and in her toy chest. Not things that really belong to her, but things that have been given to her. And you know, when we think about all that God has given us, our life, our future, our health, everything that we have in this moment, the moments of happiness that we have with our family or with our friends, the moments of success that we have with our job, all the things that we have in life, we believe as Christians that God gave us those. And in return, he just asks us to give it back. Just to give it back, to give the abundant life that he's given us back to him. So how do we give to a God that's not physically present here on the earth? You know, sometimes when people say, well, we need to give to God, it's like, okay, well, what's his address? How do I show up? How do I go there? Well, how do we give to a God? Matthew 25:31-36 tells us very clearly that whatever you do for the least of these, and there's another translation that just says it this way, someone who's overlooked or ignored. Do you know people like that in your world? People who are overlooked and ignored. Anything that you do for someone who's overlooked or ignored, the Bible tells us it's credited to us as though we did it to God himself. And what's interesting about this passage of scripture is there's not a single religious thing mentioned or religious action mentioned. It's not preaching. It's not going out and pulling people into whatever you're doing. No, instead, it's meeting the needs of people, feeding people who are hungry, giving water to those who are thirsty, providing a home for the homeless, visiting people who are sick in the hospital, taking care of people who are in prison and abandoned. Those are the things that are mentioned in this scripture as being credited to us as though we actually did them to God.
And if we're going to discover what love does, the first thing that we need to understand is that love gives its best. Love gives its best. So let's discover what it is when we give our best. We got a 4 points that we want to share with you this morning, and it's a little acrostic for the word best, and it starts with the B, and the B is for big. Love gives big. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that his poverty could make you rich. I love the Message translation of this verse. It says, you are familiar with the generosity of our Master, Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich. In one moment, he stepped out of all of the glory and the beauty of heaven, and he came down to a broken and a hurting world. In one moment, he gave away all of the riches of everything that he had in heaven so that he might step down and walk where we walk and live where we live so that we might have the opportunity to become rich, so that we might have the opportunity to connect with Almighty God. You see, Jesus gave big. God gave a big gift. And not only did God give his son Jesus, but God wanted to give us eternal life through his son. That, my friends, is a big gift. You see, God wasn't content with just giving us less than what he had originally planned. No. God wanted to give us the very best. God wanted to restore the way that he originally created us. We were created for intimate fellowship in the garden. And so God said, I'm going to restore that, and I'm going to put my spirit inside of you so that I can restore intimacy with my creation. God created you to live in his presence. And so God said, I am going to allow my people that whenever they call upon me, when they begin to praise and worship me, I'm going to fill the atmosphere where they are with my presence, because God wants you to live in his presence. God gave a big gift when he gave Jesus. God gave a big gift when he gave us eternal life. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, we read earlier, it tells us that we have two responsibilities: to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it all starts with loving God big, giving back to him the life that he gave us. We've been talking the last few weeks about this abundant life. We've been talking about this life that overflows, this life that is full of God and full of his purpose and full of his power, this abundant life that God really genuinely created you to live. That's what we've been talking about. But do you know, God doesn't want you to live the abundant life for yourself. God doesn't want you to live the overflow life just for yourself. God wants you to live that life for his kingdom, for his glory, for his purpose. That's why God wants you to live an abundant life, so that it would spill over all of the time. So whenever we talk about love giving its best, that love gives big, we have to love God big. What does that mean? It means we put God in the center of our lives, the way we talk, the way that we arrange our time, the way that we make choices, and ultimately the way that we treat other people. We must love God big.
You know, this book, Love Does, by this guy, Bob Goff, is actually kind of our book of the series. We're encouraging people to read it because it's an inspiring story, and your life will be shaped by the stories that you read and you see. That's why television is so important. And these are the kind of stories that move you towards the incredible life that you really can have. And when we talk about loving big, this is a guy who has sold out to the concept of loving big. He tells a story in the book about his neighbor who lived across the street, and she got some bad news. She found out that she was terminally ill. And the day that he called her and talked to her about it, he told her this. He said, "I'm not going to talk to you on the phone anymore. I'm not going to talk to you on the phone anymore. See, I talk to everybody on the phone, but I'm going to have a special kind of relationship with you." And he went and bought two walkie-talkies for him and his neighbor. And he put one right by her bed, and then he had one. And he would say, "This is Bob, over." And they would have these wonderful conversations. And she knew that he was accessible at any time that he was at his home, because she had a direct line to him. That's loving somebody big. And you may think, oh, that's such a small thing. Well, somebody who's terminally ill needs more than anything comfort and hope. And what's sillier or more fun than walkie-talkies? I mean, really, people. There are some of you who chose your job because you knew there was a walkie-talkie involved. I am sure of it. They're fun. They're wonderful. It's why we have the whole foyer decorated in balloons. That is not for my birthday. That's for this series, because there's nothing more whimsical or happy than a balloon. They have absolutely no purpose whatsoever. They just exist to make us smile. I mean, you know, you take your kid to the dentist and you want to take that balloon from them at the end. You do. Go ahead and confess, because we love those moments that inject hope into our life. And when we love big, it's not always something physical, but sometimes it is. My dad is maybe the most unpredictable man I've ever been around in my life. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen when you get with him or get in his car. You may end up in another state. You don't know. I've warned you now. But my dad, he's the pastor of this church, and he was marrying one of the people who are here at North Point on New Year's Eve, and he was talking to the groom, and they were having a great time, and the groom mentioned to him, he said, "Man," he goes, "I've been looking for a watch forever. I love that watch. What kind of watch is that?" My dad just took it off and just handed it to him and said, "You know what? This is your watch now. I want to give you this. I want you to have this." But that's the way my dad's always lived his life. I've seen him give away cars and cash and time and money and all kinds of different things just because he loves to go big. He's not going to go small. He's not going to love small. He's going to love big. I think about Will Hardin, who I absolutely adore. He's just such an incredible anchor in this church, and he loves big. In fact, I found out about this by accident, but there was a older man who had gone through a physical struggle, and he was no longer able to mow his yard. And Will just took it upon himself to go every week all summer and to mow this guy's yard, make sure his yard looked good, make sure he was proud every time he moved up to his house. And I remember the day that this man shared that with the church, with tears streaming down his face, saying, that's the reason I am at North Point Community Church, is because Will went big. Yes. He loved me big. You know, when we think about what love is, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us a great definition. And in the Message, it really just, it strikes my heart. And it says this, it says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It doesn't pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best, never looks back, and keeps going on. I think at the end of that, you could just sum it up by saying, love gives big. Love gives big breaks. Love gives big moments. Love gives big hope. And love goes out of its way and inconveniences itself to meet the needs in other people's lives. And this is the reality, is that when we love big, we'll live big. When we love big, we'll give big, and we will live big.
And the E in best stands for expectantly. Expectantly. Not only when we love, not only do we give big, but we give expectantly. Hebrews tells us this in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting him. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. We all understand that the cross was a shameful experience. We understand that the cross was a painful experience, but the Bible tells us that Jesus endured it all because there was a joy that was awaiting him. What was that joy? Because he knew that in 3 days he was going to defeat death, hell, and the grave. He knew that he was going to come up victorious, and when he came up victorious, he was going to reach out for God's hand with one hand and reach down for humanity with the other, and all of a sudden God would be restored with humanity. God would be connected again. So he said, I'm willing to go through this pain. I'm willing to go through this season because I am waiting expectantly. I am expecting something great to happen. You see, God gave with expectation, and we must give expectantly, knowing that it will make an impact. Whenever you expect something great to happen, doesn't it just create a level of energy and enthusiasm inside of you? When you expect big news, man, it just creates energy. When you expect breakthrough to happen in your life, it creates this natural enthusiasm. And you don't have to look any further than a kid at Christmas time. When it's Christmas morning and that kid wakes up, that kid doesn't know what's under that tree. That kid doesn't know what presents are waiting out there. That kid has no idea, but he wakes up or she wakes up with an expectation that creates an energy and an enthusiasm. And they are bouncing off the walls and knocking on the door. Mommy, are we ready yet? Daddy, can we go out there yet? I am ready to get out there and see because there's an expectation. Well, it is no different in our life. If you woke up every morning and you were ready to give expectantly, and you expected your gift to make a difference. You expected your words to bring hope into life to somebody. If you expected your sacrifice to bring somebody into the kingdom of God, if you expected God to use you in a strategic way in somebody's life, if you woke up every morning and said, God, I expect you to do greatness in me and through me today, man, it would give you such an energy and enthusiasm that this place would not be able to contain you. But it only happens when you make up your mind that I will give my best, because your best is giving expectantly, expecting God to do something great. And this is what the Bible says. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Don't give begrudgingly. Don't give out of pressure to give. No. You give because you are cheerful. A cheerful giver is always giving because they expect. They are giving because they expect something great to happen. They are giving because they are expecting miracles to happen. Whenever you wake up in the morning and you say, man, I am ready to give my best. I am ready to give big today. I am ready to give expectantly today. Then you need to live with the anticipation and the expectation that God is going to use you to do something great each and every day. And that will put a smile on your face and it'll put a hop in your step because you know that God really does want to use you to connect people with Him each and every day.
Amen. So if we're going to give our best, we've got to give big. We've got to give expectantly, but we've also got to give supernaturally. What we can give naturally isn't enough. We've got to allow God to bring His super into our natural so that we can give supernaturally. 1 John 4:7-8 says this: Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is the reality, is that all love in the world is a shadow of God's love, because God is love. So when we experience love in whatever form, in whatever way, we experience a part of what we ultimately were supposed to experience in our relationship with Him. And you may say, well, how can you possibly say that? How can you say that that's true? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew 5:43-48 says this: You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, God causes the rain to fall on the unjust and the just. He allows all of us to experience His love in some reflective way, just like He allows us to experience His glory through nature. You know, when you go outside and you see a sunset or you see a beautiful tree, or you see, there's just something that connects you, that makes you realize the glory of this world. And whether or not you acknowledge it as our Creator's glory, it is His glory. And so we see this love that comes from God. But you know what? You can't love your enemies the way that that passage said without God's supernatural intervention. You can't love people the way that they need to be loved, with that life-changing kind of love, unless you have God helping you to love them. We have to understand, we have to have that love, because the love of God didn't stop at the fall. See, the Bible says that God so loved. That means from the beginning. That means from the perfect to the imperfect, to the worse, to the okay, maybe we'll come back to you, to the no, never mind, we really didn't want you. Through all the wars and massacres and horrible things that happened in the world, God so loved. God loves all the way through. And so we have to understand that when we reach out, that we're not just giving somebody natural love. We're giving them a touch from the Almighty God. When they experience the love that flows from us, they experience for a moment the love that comes from a supernatural God.
And this is why it's so important, because Jesus said this in John 13:35. He says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It is the identifying mark that puts you with God. It's what puts you on God's team in the eyes of the world, that people look at you and they say, wow, they love each other, therefore they belong to God. And let me tell you, you will not be able to achieve that on your natural strength. You will not be able to achieve that on your natural forgiveness. You will not be able to achieve that on your natural grace. You will not be able to achieve that in any type of natural way, because there will be people that hurt you. There will be people that disappoint you. There will be people that treat you wrongly. And the only way to love people like that is whenever you connect God's super with your natural and you say, I am going to live a supernatural life because I am going to give my best. I don't feel like loving you, but I'm not responding by my own feelings. I'm not responding out of my own nature. I have this super nature of God living inside of me, and that allows me to love you supernaturally. So when we talk about your best, it's really not even your best. It's the best that God has put inside of you, because he has given you the ability to love and to give supernaturally. And we're going to close out with the T, because the T stands for today. The T stands for today. There was a day that God gave. There was a specific day when God sent Jesus. It was not theoretical. It actually happened on a day. You see, you never love tomorrow, only today. You never give your best tomorrow, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow may or may not get here. You can only give your best today. And you might say, well, I really do love God, Pastor. I really do love people. Well, my question is, well, how do you do that? And when do you do that? Because there is only one way to fulfill that command, and it is to love today. And this, during this series, as we talk about discover what love does, we understand that love gives its best. Love gives its best. Love gives big. Love gives expectantly. Love gives supernaturally. But love gives today. And I want to encourage you, if you will follow us on Instagram, you can follow our church at CC North Point. You can follow Destiny D's, Philip D's. Follow us, because we're going to be throwing up some Instagram reminders. Follow us on Facebook. We're going to be putting some reminders on Facebook, because here's what we're going to do. Every Wednesday throughout this month, we're going to put a reminder out there for you. And it's going to be a little Instagram challenge, because here's what we want to do. We want to give our best this week. We're not going to wait till next week to give our best. We're not going to wait till next month to give our best. We're not going to wait till next year. We're not going to wait till we get married. We're not going to wait till we get out of college. We're not going to wait till we get a new job. No, no, no. We are starting right now to give our best. And so every Wednesday, church-wide, we're going to have a challenge that's going out there. And this week, the challenge is give someone something, that you would buy somebody. So maybe it's a coffee at Starbucks, and you start talking to them in the line, and you walk up to the desk and you say, hey, I'm going to get this person whatever they want. Just put it on my bill. You see, that is loving big. That is giving, because you're expecting something great to happen. You believe that God is going to connect you in some special way that's going to lead them to Jesus, going to lead them to a breakthrough and a blessing. So this week, we're going to have a Wednesday challenge, and maybe you want to buy a meal. Hey, maybe you say, man, I don't want to just do this on Wednesday. I want to do it all week long. I want to buy somebody coffee on Monday and a meal on Tuesday and a gift on Wednesday. Great. I hope that you just get addicted to it, because that's what it comes to when we talk about giving God your best. But as a church, on Wednesday, we're going to make it our day. And there's going to be a different challenge every week, but this week's challenge is that you would buy something for someone, just as a gift, as a token to say, hey, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I've never done this before. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I know one thing. God gave his best for me, and right now in my life, I'm discovering what real love does, and I realize that real love gives, and real love gives big, and real love gives expectantly, and real love gives supernaturally, and real love gives today, not tomorrow and not later, but it happens today. And I can promise you, if you will begin to step out there, as you discover what love does, and you know, man, love gives its best. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that God gave me his best. I'm so grateful that God loved me and gave his son for me, that I might experience what I experience today. And my only response to his love, my only response to his gift, is that I would give him a gift in return. and that is all that I have, and that is my life. To say, God, I'm ready to love big like you love big. I'm ready to love and to give expectantly like you gave expectantly. I'm ready to love and to give supernaturally because you are the supernatural giver. And God, I'm ready to do it today. I am ready to be a blessing to somebody today. Would you stand with me? Have our musicians come at this time. Why don't you just bow your head for a moment? You see, I believe that this is going to be a breakthrough series for some people. I believe there's people that are faithful to church. I believe there are people that know Jesus, that live in relationship with God. But I believe that something is going to happen to you this month, February 2014. I believe that God is going to begin to show you there is more. There is a level of abundance that you are not tapping into yet simply because you haven't really discovered what love does. You've discovered what love feels like. You have embraced my love. You have felt my love. You feel my forgiveness. You have felt these things, but now it's time to discover what love does. And I believe it's going to change some people's lives as you realize, hey, love gives its best. Love gives its best. That's what love does. Love gives its best. Not halfway. Not average. Love gives its very best. Love gives big. Love gives with enthusiasm and energy because there's an expectation attached to it. Love gives supernaturally because I'm not even giving from my own reservoir. I'm not even giving out of my own experience. I'm giving back out of what God has already given to me. It's supernaturally. And you discover that love gives today. Love gives today. This morning, as your head are bowed and your eyes are closed, I know that you can't give your best until you first accept God's best for you. God gave his best when he gave Jesus. And I can tell you today that God would love for nothing more in this moment for you to open up your heart and to invite Jesus to come into your life. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what your background is, but I know that there's a God that loves you. There's a God that really forgives sin. There's a God who can restore the broken pieces of your life. There's a God who can heal your emotions and heal your physical body. I know that there is a God who desires to love you. And see, you can't give your best until you first receive God's best. And this morning, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm not going to ask you to step in the aisle or come down front. But you say, Pastor Philip, I've never really invited God into my life. I've never really given my heart to Jesus. I've never really said, I want to receive God's best. I want Jesus to live in my heart. I want a relationship with God. I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning. But you say, that's me. That's me. Pastor, you are talking to me this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is just between you and God. If I'm speaking to you right now, will you just slip your hand up in the air and say, Pastor, you're talking to me this morning. I'm ready to receive God's best. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else that says, I'm ready to open my heart and receive God's best. Now, how many of you this morning say, Pastor, it has come to my attention that I haven't been giving my best. Maybe you thought you were giving your best, or maybe you were just kind of on a season and cruise control, but this morning it is, something has woken you up. You say, wow, I'm not giving near big enough. I'm not giving near expectantly enough. I'm not giving near supernaturally enough. And I'm not giving today. And you say, I am ready for things to change. I'm ready to discover what love does. And if love gives its best, then I want to participate in that because God gave his best for me. I'm ready to give my best back to him. I'm going big. I'm going with expectation. I'm going with the supernatural. And I'm going with today. And if I'm talking to you right now, just lift your hand up and say, that's me. I've been living below the best. But you say, I'm ready for some things to change in my life. I'm ready to go big. I'm ready to go big. Father, I pray for every hand that is raised right now. God, I ask that this would be a turning point in their life. God, I pray that they would get addicted to the best. God, I pray that their eyes would be open to see your best even more clearly than they've ever seen it before, so that they might give a best that they didn't even know that they had, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would change the way that we think. God, transform our thought process. Transform us, God, during this series. As we discover what love does, let love change us that we might always give our best each and every day. And as we lift our hands, God, we say, that is me. I am ready for change. I am ready for transformation. I am ready to give my very best each and every day. And now, would you just repeat this prayer after me, everybody all across the sanctuary? Say, dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me of all of my sins. Make me the person that you want me to be. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my God. Thank you for allowing me to live in relationship with you. And I'm ready to give because that's what love does. I'm ready to give my best each and every day. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.